Stugatz here for Advance Auto Parts. These days, it's good to be prepared, and that includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. Batteries start at just $79.99. They'll also have curbside pickup on any order. Enter the code DAN20 when you buy online to save 20% on your order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details.
We learn something every week around here about the animal kingdom. If you want to talk to Ron McGill of Zoo Miami, 786-456-4837 is the telephone number. What is the most amazing thing, Ron, and thank you for joining us, that you've heard of a porpoise or a pod of porpoises or a dolphin or a pod of dolphin doing?
Well, actually, the story that Stu guys just mentioned, that the group of dolphins rescued Dick Van Dyke, is that true?
A pod of porpoises did.
A pod of porpoises, put it on the poll, Guillermo. Do you know the difference between a porpoise and a dolphin?
There really is no difference in the sense that, a bottlenose dolphin is probably a porpoise. It depends, except that, we tend to use the term dolphin for the mahi-mahi, which is the food that we eat. You know, I remember people coming, when I first moved to Florida, I went to the restaurant and it said dolphin on the menu and I went, what? They're eating flipper? This is disgusting. I'm out of here. It's a different fish. No, I'm serious.
I know. Thank you.
But anyway, I have heard of several instances. You know, there's that story with Elion that supposedly dolphins helped him out there in the ocean. There are several stories, several sailors, several people that have been stranded at sea that say they were rescued by a dolphin, they were helped by a dolphin, they were able to ride the dorsal fin towards the shore. So I don't disbelieve that at all. I think dolphins are incredibly intelligent. We've gone this over many times on this show. I think they're more intelligent than maybe some people I know, and there's a lot more we need to learn about them. And I think they're also compassionate animals.
Chris, what did you have for Ron McGill of Zoo Miami?
Ron, how many pit bulls would it take to take out a full-grown Siberian tiger?
Wow. That's a good one. That would be tough. I would say minimum a dozen, and they'd have to be well-trained pit bulls. I mean, these pit bulls would have to be in tip-top shape and know what they're doing. But it would take a minimum of a dozen, and that would be, it still would be a coin toss.
John, you're on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Ron, I was just wondering if animals' arms or legs ever fall asleep like humans do and what kind of reaction they might have if that happens.
That's a good question, and yes, they do. I have seen that happen a couple of times. I actually used to see it with my dog. He'd sleep on a funky way on his leg. He'd get up, he'd start moving, and he'd almost fall down, and then his leg would come back to life, and he'd kind of get it going again. So, yes, I mean, it's obviously possible that it happens to animals for the same reason it happens to people. If you sleep on it the wrong way or it goes numb the wrong way, it does happen to animals. They react, a little bit of surprise at first, but they adapt very quickly, and as soon as the circulation comes back, they're back to normal pretty quickly.
It's a good question, though, because if you lose your legs in the animal kingdom, you'd be terrified. I've always wondered, for example, the first people who saw lightning, what they made of that, because without any information,
I'm armed with all kinds of information. I'm terrified.
I know, but you know what I'm saying? Like, imagine an animal. A dog just wakes up, was just sleeping. It's like, oh, no, my legs don't work and things hunt me. Like, that's horrifying. That's so much worse than us going through it and having a mind that understands what it means for your leg to fall asleep.
It's actually kind of funny because, like I said, when I saw my dog do it, he'd get up and he'd kind of freak out and fall. And then he'd get right up and start shaking his leg right away. So he knows to get the circulation back in there, and he was fine. But again, it would be horrifying for an animal if he doesn't think it's going to go away. But fortunately, as you know with most people, once your arm's asleep, you start shaking around, it wakes up pretty quickly, and animals tend to respond fairly quickly.
Donovan, you're on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Seriously, you got to think about that. You're walking along, you're primitive, you're just looking for something to eat, and maybe, I stumbled upon a coconut, and oh my God, lightning! Lightning, Jim, what is that? I don't even know what the name for it is, because
Dan, it would be worse, not just the lightning. If the lightning is close to you, the sound that makes.
Well, that's the other thing. Stugatz, imagine that. You're just walking around as primitive man, and lightning strikes, and you're like, whoa, that was scary. And then the heavens just start making noise.
This is it. You have to say to yourself, this is it. We're done.
Donovan, you're on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Go ahead, Donovan.
Based on hunting strategy and hunting tactics, who would be a better defensive coordinator, an African wild dog or a wolf?
You know what? Six, one half dozen the other. I'm going to go with both of them. I think defensively, I would have to go with the wolves because the wolves are bigger and stronger. But their tactics, their planning, their strategies are very similar. But being bigger and stronger, I'd want to have the wolf defensive team.
Roy, what do you have for Ron McGill of Zoo Miami?
Yeah, there's a sea lion in a zoo in Spain that's been so neglected that seaweed has started growing on its coat, and people there believe that it's dying now off on its own. What are the steps that zoos are taking to prevent something like that from happening?
Well, every organization, every, you know, geographical area, like here in the United States, we have the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, AZA. In Europe, they have the European Association of Zoos and Aquariums. All good zoos should be accredited by those facilities, and those organizations, you know, pretty much do what they can to avoid any of that happening. My suspicion is that this is some roadside attraction, neglecting the animal. Hopefully, through the power of social media and awareness, people are not going to let that happen, and changes will be made there. I don't believe, you know, seaweed doesn't grow out of a sea lion. It might be algae or something on it, or it may have gone swimming and gone into seaweed, and some of it stuck to its back when it came out of water. A lot of this stuff you got to take with a grain of salt. People sometimes see things and they interpret it the wrong way. But if the animal is in fact starving, not being cared for, you would think that there would be some human compassion, whether it be somebody who sees it or a guest or somebody is going to report that on social media. There's going to be some kind of uproar and somebody's going to go save that animal.
Are sea lions the closest thing that the sea has to dogs?
Yeah, I would think sea lions, any of the pinnipeds, the seals, the sea lions, you know, even sea otters in some way, probably the closest thing, yeah, that what you have to a dog.
Justin.
Good analogy.
Justin, you're on. It just seems like they'd be fun to play with. They're not dangerous at all, right?
What? Are you out of your mind? They can be incredibly dangerous. Some of the worst injuries that some of my friends have experienced working with animals in captivity have been from sea lions. They will tear you up like hamburger.
Jesus, put it on the pole. Put it on the pole.
Have you ever seen the skull of a sea lion, Dan?
Not really.
It'll make most dogs look like a hamster.
Put it on the pole, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Did you know that a sea lion would tear off your face like hamburger?
Not could. There's a big difference, Dan. Stop putting words in my mouth. It has the capability of doing it. If it feels threatened or feels whatever reason it's going to be aggressive toward you, yes, it could kill you. It's a really strong, fast, powerful animal.
Justin, you're on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Go ahead, Justin.
Hi, Ron. I was wondering if wild cats purred. Like, was that cheetah purring when it was in your bed?
Wild cats, some of them do purr. Probably the biggest cat that purrs is the cheetah. A cheetah will purr. It's so loud, you'll think it's roaring. It's like a... I mean, people actually think it's roaring, but it is a purr, and the cheetah can do it very loudly.
That's how my father snores. I'm not even making that up. Greg, you're on.
With,
Greg, you're on. You're on. Greg, what do you have for Ron McGill? That's you, Cody. Your name is...
Oh, okay. You introduced me as if I were a guest on the phone.
I got to defend Cody here. That was a little weird way to bring him into the
presentation. It was weird, right, Mike?
It was, man. I got your back. You're usually bad, but that was...
Thank you.
It was like he was on line six, yeah. I mean.
Greg, you're on ESPN Radio. What do you have for Ron McGill, Greg?
Hey, Ron, on a serious note, if I may, four Zoo Miami workers recently tested positive for COVID. I'm wondering how they're doing... And I'm also wondering how zoo traffic has been since you guys reopened.
You know, zoo traffic has been pretty good, Greg. I got to be honest with you. We are at about 80% of what the same attendance figures were last year, which is better than most other facilities in the country. Most other zoos are only around 50%. And yes, we have had four employees test positive for COVID-19. Fortunately, only one of them had any direct public contact. And fortunately, all of them are home recuperating. None of them have had to be hospitalized. They're all fairly young, which seems to be the trend here in Florida that, you know, it's the younger generation that seems to be be testing positive lately. Through contact tracing, we've had to also send home several other employees to get tested, and they won't be allowed back to work until their tests come back negative. So, you know, this is an ongoing fluid type of thing, but we have 500 employees here at the zoo. It's a huge facility. So to me, it wasn't a matter of if but when this was going to occur. And having the numbers that have spiked in Florida within the last couple of weeks, it's not shocking to me. Fortunately, like I said, they are recovering at home. It's not serious that they required hospitalization. And now we have to wait for the other employees that they had close contact with to see the results of their test.
Tony, what do you have for Ron McGill?
Hey, Ron. Obviously, coconut crab has the strongest grip per capita. Could it grip onto a plane and fly somewhere?
God, I love these listeners.
Something
man.
On the wing.
Theoretically, you would think they could grab onto the plane and hold onto it. However, once the plane reaches a certain altitude, which of course is going to plummet temperatures, the crab is going to freeze, let go, and plummet to the ground and shatter into many little pieces.
Matt, you're on with Ron McGill of Zoo Miami. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey there, Ron. I have a golf question. If Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, and Greg Norman all turn into their animal nicknames, a tiger, a bear, and a shark, who would win to become the GOAT?
Wow. Well, the bear is out. I don't think the bear is going to beat the tiger. The tiger, animal-wise, is going to be the most formidable predator there, assuming that the tiger is fighting the shark on land. But if the tiger is fighting the shark in the water, it's going to be the shark. You know, the bear is just going to be a spectator here, guys. I'm sorry, the bear is not going to win on either of those cases. He may hold himself up against a tiger, defend himself against a tiger, but he's not going to defeat a tiger. Having said that, in the water, he's done with the shark, and the same thing with the tiger. The tiger in the water is going to be dead. So if they're playing on a course with a lot of water holes and a lot of hazards, maybe I'd give it to the shark.
I think he's talking about an actual game of golf, and I feel like the bear is perhaps best suited to stand over a ball, swing it, you know, like a human would, and hit it 575 yards.
Well, Stu Gatz, in that case, in that respect, yes, I agree with you 100%. If you're just going to put a golf club and you're saying they're playing golf, but I thought you were saying, you know, the guy is saying if the mascots, if the nicknames went after each other on their own, you know, on their own strength just to defeat each other, to take each other out of the game, then it was going to be the tiger or the shark, depending on in or out of the water, whereas the bear, again, is just a spectator. Give him the golf clubs. I'm going with the bear. Agree with you 100%.
Ron,
how can a shark swing a golf club?
Ron, thank you. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Can a shark swing a golf club?
Bye, guys.
See you later, Ron. Again, Stugatz, I want you to imagine this, all right? There are no weather reports. Nobody knows anything about weather, but primitive man is just walking around, and he thinks the thing he's got to worry about the most is sort of a saber-toothed tiger. But then off in the distance, for the first time, a bolt of electricity hit something. And then seconds later, a thunderous sound that makes it seem like God is angry.
So the construct of this is lightning hasn't appeared for roughly 25
That's
years.
Right.
Welcome to another Greg Cody Tuesday, a weekly celebration of white mediocrity.
Mignon Fogarty with us. We were arguing about this earlier in the show. Do you know whether it's pronounced gala or gala?
No, I okay. don't. And I often mispronounce things, and my listeners from my podcast will call me out on it.
Yeah, we were referring, of course, to the PFPI gala.
Thank you. You just ended. You petered out on the joke. You wanted to make the joke,
no,
but you got caught
joke.
Up in the air.
I
All right, Mignon,
question.
Thank you for being on with us, Mignon. That's just perfect. You just wanted to get in there with the joke, but you didn't have anything
no,
afterward.
I did. I was gathering myself.
You weren't gathering yourself. You made your joke. All you had was the joke. You you bathed in the joke.
That is not true.
It wasn't a good joke. Nobody laughed. We all just stared at you waiting for a question that never came.
I was also going to ask her how she feels about the casual use of language.
That's great that you have all these questions. Now that's very helpful.
That was a short segment. I thought she deserved more time, Mignon, which by the way is French for cute. It's not just a steak.
Is that true?
Yep.
I don't believe you.
Look it up.
This is another Greg Cody Tuesday, a weekly celebration of Caucasian mediocrity.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami Only Hour and our Best of Podcast on demand in the ESPN app, and subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends Podcast Network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcast. Greg Cody, giving the Straight Talk, is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
We will get to some Stephen A. Smith sound in a second because Stephen A. Smith is a little concerned about NBA players in a bubble with, I think, what this sound will be is limited access to sex. So we will get to that sound in just a second. But first, I need to offer an apology to the American people while also lighting a fire under the freckled butt of one Chris Cody, who just stood at attention the moment he heard the phrase freckled butt before even realizing this was about him. I need to know the whereabouts of Ian Poulter's wet fart. I don't know where it is. Oh, yeah. I've been promising people for 2 days that we're going to get to that sound. What is happening? Is golf in hiding? Is there a cover-up? Is the sound not being cleared because someone is trying to protect Ian Poulter?
We sent it for clearance. It was denied.
Wow.
Really?
This, but if we had to think about it, are you surprised at all that golf and anyone around golf denied the sound or clearance to the sound to Ian Poulter? It wasn't just farting, but farting in a fashion that was wet enough to suggest billowing flesh curtains.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised that the PGA Tour denied us the sound, but it's great promotion. The PGA Tour is the only game in town right now. I mean, we're sitting here trying to toss some golf. Let's go.
Mike Ryan thinks, put on the poll, Guillermo. Ian Poulter, should Ian Poulter's new nickname be Billowing Flesh Curtains?
Well, I want that in the NBA to really, like, take hold. Can we make that Jokic's nickname or something like that?
Are you telling me?
Put that on T-shirts.
Chris, you're simply telling me that this will never be reversed? Can I go to the Supreme Court? Can I go to – is there a way – is there a place where I can appeal?
You don't like hearing no, do you?
Well, it's not just that I don't want to hear no. I want to see if I can unseal these documents. I want to see if there's any sort of journalistic effort we can make in order to get the clearance on this promised Ian Poulter sound.
That's above my pay grade. I send something to clearance. It either comes back clear or denied or pending. And this one, sometimes it just stays pending forever.
All right.
This one actually got denied.
And we're not in charge of the promise, Dan. You are.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. I have become friendly with the head of media relations for the PGA Tour, and I am going to call this gentleman up. I have, all right? I have had a number of golfers on Stupidity, okay? And I am going to ask him to clear the fart, okay? That is what I'm going to ask him to do. As a friend of mine and as a favor to me in this show, I am going to call him today, and I am going to demand that he help me get that sound cleared.
Billy, okay? Why were you making faces? You don't believe that Stu Gatz is going to do any of what he's promised to do? Roy is just shaking his head sadly, knowing that this is possibly just Stu Gatz's microphone bluster that will result in that being the maximum effort you just heard that Stu Gatz will actually devote to this cause.
I don't think that he's going to do that. I don't think that the head of PR for the PGA is the one that deals with clearing farts. I mean, maybe he'll call him, but I feel like his call will result in someone being on Stupidity and no fart being played on the air here.
Well, it's Bill, you know me well. I have to call him anyway today because I'm trying to secure something with Justin Thomas. And so while I'm securing that, I will fight for the fart. And I am telling you, it might not be his responsibility, but it's about to become his responsibility. I put Billy Horschel on my podcast. I mean, let's go, let's go.
All right. I mean, is put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is the head of the PGA responsible for...
Tell him that you put Billy Horschel on, though. That'll help.
Responsible for clearing the fart.
I mean, you know any other podcast taking Billy Horschel right now? Stupidity did.
Welcome to another Greg Cody Tuesday, a weekly celebration of white mediocrity.
Oh. Phone's ringing again. Why don't you go ahead and answer that?
I'm not going to answer.
No, go ahead and answer.
You might as well see who it is.
Go ahead. Let's find out. Well. Let's find out.
It must be urgent.
Put it on speaker so we can hear them too.
Yes. We'll be there. Thank you.
Where are you going to be?
It's my it's my doctor confirming that I have an appointment Thursday morning. Good guy, my doctor.
Mike wants to kill you.
I don't blame him at this point. Wearing a heavy shirt, I'm sweating. things are happening. But you know what? I'm going to rally.
Everything okay, though? Just a normal checkup, a physical, like...
Oh, yeah. I did some blood work last week, and this is the week after checkup. You know, everything's good with me.
Oh, the follow-up after the blood work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As long as he tells me my liver's fine, we're good. We're good to go.
Technically, we really don't know if everything's okay. As in the follow-up to the blood work.
Yeah, we never know, right. Really.
This is another Greg Cody Tuesday, a weekly celebration of Caucasian mediocrity.
All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. University of Arizona has paused its plan to bring athletes back to campus Monday, citing a surge in COVID-19 cases in Pima County and the coronavirus pandemic's impact on the local healthcare system. University of Michigan Athletic Director Ward Manuel, football coach Jim Harbaugh, and men's basketball coach Jawan Howard will each accept a 10% salary reduction after the school projected a budget deficit of $26 million. And finally, dogs can understand as many as 250 words and gestures. The average dog is as intelligent as a 2-year-old child. Huh. Want to breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, feel healthier? Then take my advice and try Navage. I use it every single day to clean my nose and sinuses, and absolutely love it. Go to Navage.com, that's NAVAGE.com, or you can visit your local Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Bed Bath & Beyond, or Target. For all the latest headlines and information, tune to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, and we're going to update the polls in a second. At Le Batard Show, is the dog smarter or dumber than the average 2-year-old? Stugatz, help me understand something, because you tend to fluctuate all over the place. Your opinion changes, morphs. There is no need for consistency anywhere. Yesterday, the stat you kept hitting us with is Cam Newton's 0-8 in his last 8 games. Today, you come in here talking about Cam Newton's a Hall of Famer after 8 seasons. So which is it?
I'm going to go with Cam Newton's a Hall of Famer after 8 seasons. He is 0-8 in his last 8 starts. I was just throwing that in because it's funny. People didn't seem to point that out as they were praising the Patriots. But, Dan, looking at ProFootballReference.com, through 8 seasons, his career, the numbers he's put up through 8 seasons, are comparable to those of Brett Favre, Joe Montana, Dan Marino, Russell Wilson, and the Patriots. I still can't believe that only 2 teams were willing to speak to Cam Newton, and I can't believe the Patriots just got this guy who's only 31 years old. I know he's been hit a lot, but they got this guy just by waiting around. No one else was aggressive in their pursuit of Cam Newton. I find that to be pretty amazing.
Greg Cody, are you not a musty Football Hall of Fame voter? What do you have to do to be a musty Football Hall of Fame owner? You're the perfect age. You've got the perfect temperament and sensibilities for a gatekeeper protecting the sacred place. Is Cam Newton a Hall of Famer? And why are you or are you not a Football Hall of Fame voter?
I am not. I am in baseball, as you know, but not football. I think Cam Newton is on the road to Canton. I don't think he's there right now. But what really a shortcut to Canton is when you win a league MVP award, which he has. And that's going to help him get to the Hall of Fame, just as it's going to help Matt Ryan, to use an example.
So, Stugatz, usually the place that you end up on this is not that the winning that you have to do is the MVP. The winning that you have to do, I'm surprised that you wouldn't hold that MVP season and coming up short in the last game against him the same way you were ready to do to Patrick Mahomes if the last 6 minutes of the last Super Bowl had been different. Why can't you still be out here saying that Cam Newton can't win the important game? If that's so often your analysis for that position where you're talking about wins and responsibility for wins.
That's fair. Cam Newton, however, took a Carolina Panther team basically by himself offensively and got them to a Super Bowl and was the MVP of that year. Plus, I don't think we've seen the entire script yet for Cam Newton. Now, I know that's never stopped me before, but now that he's with Bill Belichick playing for that organization with that coach and that offensive coordinator, which should not be left out, at 31 years of age, Dan, if they could figure out the right offense to put around Cam Newton, I feel like together, Newton, Belichick, McDaniels, they got like a nice 6-7 year run here, and maybe Cam will win a Super Bowl or two. So,
do you realize
for the first time in my life, I'm waiting for the full story to be written? I don't know why.
You won't read it once it's complete. You'll just move on to other shiny objects. But it is really rare, Stu Gatz, that you get this combination of things. Okay, it's really rare that you get any kind of move that is simply consensus applause. Anywhere right. in sports, you cannot get consensus on anything. We can't agree on whether to wear a mask or not, or whether it's an infringement on freedom. And yet you will not hear a criticism anywhere of the Patriots getting Cam Newton this cheap. All you will hear in terms of criticism of this is the idea that Cam Newton can be had this cheap, but no one questions the move. But then, as a second bonus for the Patriots, so you not only have this one move that simply does not have a dissenter, but it's also the move where everyone in the league is stricken with fear immediately upon seeing it, because they're like, oh, wait, that guy with that team being innovative at every turn, can they polish him up and then sign him to another contract where they now have a quarterback for the next 7 years, because they've figured out that he's betting on himself. He's super motivated. And I don't know whether he knows things about health that we don't know, but the idea that anyone this late, Stu Gatz, in free agency for no money could make that particular move, a move that comes with zero criticism and also makes everyone in your conference terrified of what you've done, that ain't normal in any way.
Welcome to another Greg Cody Tuesday, a weekly celebration of white mediocrity.
Cody, your argument is what should be in the Punctuation Hall of Fame.
I mean, you have to start with the comma and the period, I would think. Those are the all-timers. That's Babe Ruth and Michael Jordan.
Okay, but what else? How many did you put into the Hall of Fame? How many?
I would put an exclamation point, a question mark.
What did you argue for last week? You argued for the ampersand last week.
Yeah, I love the ampersand.
Man, you don't listen to things in this segment. Yeah. You don't remember what you said last week.
I love the ampersand.
You are doddering, man. Just doddering. I argued last week that there can only be four in the Hall of Fame, and you put the ampersand in. It's not even a form of punctuation.
I just like the word.
How about the three dots?
The ellipses. Greg, I was trying to get the conversation started again, and the reason for having the conversation, you don't even remember.
German umlaut would be in my International Hall of Fame.
This is another Greg Cody Tuesday. For over a decade, a weekly celebration of white mediocrity.
SBN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guys, it is time for the Binge Club, brought to you by Marathon. These days, we have to travel smart. Marathon can help by improving engine performance with quality, top-tier gasoline. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
We have to get to this Stephen A. Smith sound, and we will get to the Binge Club in a second. But let's update some polls at Lebatard Show. Stu Gatz, what do you have here for the polls at Lebatard Show on Twitter?
I'm getting to them right now, Dan. My apologies. Computer is moving slow. Again, at Lebatard Show on Twitter. Do you ever feel physical pain when someone else gets older? Dan and I both felt it when John Elway turned 60.
Neither one of us felt it. You lied about feeling it.
Well, 51% of the audience said yes, they feel someone else's physical pain. Can you say, I will remind you, then a couple of words later say, I don't want to revisit this?
That actually happened with Stu Gatz earlier in the show. It was just unbelievable. It was just like this. I will remind you that the Knicks made a couple of finals. I don't want to revisit this.
70% of the audience said no. 30%. You get me. Do you know the difference between a porpoise and a dolphin? 72% of the audience said no. Who would know the difference? I mean, besides Ron. Anyway.
He says there's not much of a difference.
I know. I heard him. Did you know that a sea lion could tear off your face like hamburger? Shocking.
It was shocking.
51% of the audience said yes, they knew that. Can a shark swing a golf club? I really called Ron out on that. I was proud of myself.
You really did.
Passionate argument for bears.
Yes. Yeah.
72% of the audience said no. Is the head of the PGA responsible for clearing farts? 78% of the audience said yes.
How soon are you going to chase down the head of the PGA PR? Like, how soon are you going to do this? You're swearing to us that you're going to get the Ian Poulter fart cleared?
Yeah, I'm telling you, I have a 1:45 call with the head of media relations today. So I will, if you'd like me, I was going to lead with trying to secure Justin Thomas for stupidity. But if you would like me to lead the conversation with clearing a fart, I will.
Yes, I think you, I need that fart.
Okay. I'm on it. 1:45. I'll keep you posted. Is the dog smarter or dumber than the average 2-year-old? 86% of the audience said yes.
You make that call at 1:45.
Hey-o. What? It's an upset. Those are the Bulls.
All right. Let's play the sound of Stephen A. Smith wondering about the sexy habits of people in a bubble, a little bit alienated from loved ones.
So what are they going to do? What are you saying? After 3 weeks, what happens?
Oh, I'm telling you, they're going to violate the bubble. That's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you right now.
No more distancing, Max.
Hey, listen. They gonna practice social distancing with the general public. But I'm sorry, when it comes to either your wife or if you're not married, your girl, it's a struggle. Okay, I'm just telling y'all that's what's going on here. Somebody's got to say it.
Did somebody have to say it? Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Did someone have to say that about NBA players not having sex in the bubble?
I really think it's a legitimate question to ask, though, given what we know about NBA players. And that's a very long time. You're going to go a little bit stir crazy. Are we going to see the most focused LeBron of all time? Can you imagine?
Is it given what we know about NBA players or just given what we know about men?
Men. Well, yeah. NBA players, too. Yeah.
I'm worried about getting to the bubble. Like, I'm serious. Like, just getting to the bubble. Like, the Nuggets had to close their practice facility for what they describe as a wave of coronavirus. It's, like, unbelievable.
Yeah, the Raptors already in the bubble, and we're a month away? I think the Raptors have already traveled to Florida.
Oh, boy.
Stugatz, let's go around the room here with binging. I just recently partook in 6 episodes, a little bit older, 5 years old, but a documentary on HBO about a very wealthy alleged killer, Robert Durst. And it has the single most shocking ending I've ever seen in something that's like a documentary. Not a shocking ending to a movie, but just in general, after watching 6 episodes of this, I could not believe the ending to it.
I'm watching The Wire. So I think Tony said he watched it a couple of weeks ago. I've never seen The Wire. I'm halfway through season 1. I absolutely love it. I'm concerned because so many people tell me it tails off after a few seasons. I don't know how, considering the first 5 or 6 episodes I watched were so good, but consistently people tell me that it gets worse as it goes on. But so far, so good. I like it.
David Simon, creator of The Wire, is going to be on the next South Beach session next Tuesday. But we've been making the joke at the end of the show. We're not going to do it this time where we go around the room, because Cody wouldn't fall for it again if we were to do it where we go around the room and have everyone do it, and then he's last. Like, we've gotten him that way on the Hard Network out, like, the last 5 times. So let's go to Cody here, and we'll try to get him later in the segment with the Hard Network out. Greg Cody's always being led by his wife in the binging department. So what is it that Erlene has selected for you guys to dabble in? I still haven't heard from you once how many hours you watch this stuff.
It's Dan, Stu, and Greg Cody on ESPN Radio.